Mr. Michael Lee joining us here on the program to talk a little bit about these NBA finals. You can hear Game 4 right on ESPN 700 after the show tonight. Michael, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing awesome. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, we've had kind of an odd series, two blowouts for the Warriors at Oracle and then a blowout victory for the Cavs at their high Quicken, or the Q, I guess we call it. How do you assess these two teams when they're just blowing it, they're trading blowouts? I feel like we haven't got a real game in the series to decide who's better yet.
Yeah, you know, it's been that way. I mean, but other than their Christmas Day game, there haven't been many competitive games between these teams all year. The Warriors won three blowouts, and then I think that after winning seven in a row, Cleveland kind of had to come out with their pride, you know, and perform on Wednesday night, and I think that's what happened. They brought everything they had. They emptied it all on that one game, and just to let the Warriors know that they were there. And I think now the Warriors have a wake-up call. So hopefully we get the two teams. They respect each other now, and they're going to come out and play hard, and we'll have a competitive game.
If Kevin Love can go in Game 4, what's the best way for Cleveland to use him?
You know, easily, easing a man off the bench. When you win a playoff game, especially in the finals against a team that you've struggled with for basically 2 years, you find something that works, you kind of got to ride with it. And having LeBron at the four was really the difference of the entire game, because when they switched, LeBron was there to guard Clay or Steph, you know, on pick and rolls. And he also was there to shut down Draymond Green. And, you know, Draymond is really the underrated kind of key piece to the Warriors' engine, you know, because if he's able to penetrate and hit open shots, it really just opens up the floor for Steph and Clay to really get loose. But if he's getting snuffed out, then all of a sudden Clay and Steph have to work really hard, and you can kind of see they both struggle the other night. So having Kevin Love come off the bench is actually probably in their best interest, because Richard Jefferson did a really solid job on Harrison Barnes. By playing small, they were able to really set their own tempo, and it was effective. So, guy coming off concussion, you just won a game. You don't want to throw him out there and make him the immediate staple in case you lose. I think now feeding him off the bench and helping that second unit, which has really been atrocious the whole playoffs, and that whole playoffs, this whole series, it can really help the Cavaliers.
I saw a stat the other day about Kyrie's defense, that whoever he's guarding for the Warriors is shooting up in the 70% range. Is he focusing too much on the offensive side of the floor, or is that just one of those kind of misleading stats?
It's not misleading. Kyrie Irving knows he's not the most, solid defensive player. I mean, he is focused on – he's a one-dimensional player. I say, you know, he's not really a point guard, and I say he is a point guard. He's not a pass guard. You know, he scores, and that's really what he's focused on the floor. But he manned up the other night. I mean, he really got in Steph's skin. He made sure that he didn't have room to operate. And I think he can do that for stretches. The problem with Kyrie is that he always loses focus, because his main objective is to get buckets.
Is LeBron in a position where he needs to do what he did the other night, where he kind of took over, had a great game, was dominant in all aspects? If he doesn't play like that, where he's a complete player, I mean, does Cleveland have a chance of winning another game?
I mean, LeBron is their leader. I mean, he's the key piece to everything that they do. He has to be in. He has to play inspired ball. You can see in Oakland in those two games, he just wasn't there. He felt like the team didn't have to play at the proper energy level, and he just couldn't lift those guys up. But when they got home, you know, he told them before the game, you know, follow my lead, you know, because he knew that the energy of the crowd and all that stuff was going to get everybody going. And then when Kyrie got hit like, you know, seven of his first nine shots, all of a sudden LeBron could, you know, pick his spots, and then he can come in for the close. And I just think he really wants his teammates to be there with him. They weren't there in the first couple of games, and it made it very hard for him to do what he does, because he wants to get everybody involved. He wants everybody to be in the flow. I think a lot of people want him to be MJ sometimes and say, well, go for 40. And he did that last year, and they didn't win the world championship. He needs help, and I think that's going to be the key part. If Cleveland's going to win, is if LeBron can inspire his teammates to play at a high level.
Michael Lee is our guest here, talking some NBA Finals on O'Connell and Swinney, live at Shields in Sandy today. Steph Curry's scoring average during the season was up around 30. It's at 16 in the finals right now. But obviously his teammates picked up the slack in those first two games. what's kind of the best scoring role for Steph to fulfill, or for Steph to slot himself into against a team like Cleveland? Because it feels like if the Warriors lean too heavily on one or two individual stars, that allows Cleveland to maybe have a nice counterattack, whereas spreading the ball around is how this team won 73 games in the regular season. What should Steph's goal be in terms of scoring?
Be engaged. Be in the game. Game three, he wasn't there. Game three, he was off in space. He wasn't focused. He just was drifting. He just lit a lot of lazy passes. And it took him a whole half to finally get focused and get going. Steph just has to be engaged. He has to be involved. And I think that everything else will flow off of that. If he doesn't play with any kind of energy, or, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on his teammates to play at a higher level. And they were able to do that in the first game of the series when Sean Livingston came off the bench and, you know, had a great performance. And then game two, he was in foul trouble. And, you know, Draymond Green kind of carried the weight. There was nobody to really carry it on the road. They need him to say, okay, I'm going to play my game. And they also need to do some things to help free him, get him a little open set, better screens, you know, and just try to create situations where he can actually take his guy off the dribble, attack the basket, and do the things that we're used to seeing Steph doing. But number one, Steph has to want it. And unfortunately, in game three, he showed up and he just had no energy and no life. And his teammates followed that lead. They had none either.
Are we just overreacting to everything? Cleveland's done after two games. They're terrible. And then we're overreacting to Golden State and Steph not playing well and them getting killed. Is everything just an overreaction at this point?
Especially when it comes to Steph. I think that, you know, they're up 2-1. You know, if they were down 1-2 and Steph is playing horribly, then I think we can really start pelting Steph Curry. But as far as, you know, other than the Oklahoma City series, when he really played poorly the first four games, and they were trailed and their backs were against the wall, I don't think it's necessary to criticize him for now, because the team is winning. If he's not playing, you know, he's not getting 35 points and they're winning, that's fine. I mean, if he got 35 points and they're losing, I mean, do we just say, okay, Steph's playing great? I think if you ask Steph, he'd take a win over a 30-point game. And I think he'll take a win over a Finals MVP. I think it's more of the outside public just trying to put whatever our expectations of what an MVP should be and say, well, if he's an MVP, unanimous MVP, then he needs to be better than Michael Jordan. I'm like, he never asked to be that. He just wants to come out there, play basketball, help the team win, and however that comes about. And the Warriors, like you said, they aren't built like other teams where their franchise altering guy is going to have to carry them for long stretches. They proved throughout this postseason that they can win games without Steph. They've even done it in this finals where they don't need Steph playing at a superhuman level for it to happen. But I think for them to win the series, he's going to have to step up eventually, which he did last year. You know, I think people are acting like, well, he's never had a good finals game. And I'm like, excuse me, he had 37 points in the critical game five. He had 27 points in the clincher in game six. What do they want him to do, score 80? I mean, I think he's performed in the finals. He knows how to play basketball. He's the MVP for a reason. People do need to pipe down a little bit and calm down. Let the series unfold before we start killing him and say he's not worthy of being whatever.
It's interesting because we start throwing these platitudes around when we talk about guys like LeBron and even Steph, like, oh, LeBron makes everyone around him better, and they question whether or not Steph does, even though Steph's team over the course of a season obviously benefited from a lot of the things that he does. Making your teammates better is not just passing them the ball, right? I mean, it's not just getting assists. It feels like sometimes Steph...
It's the spirit you give them. You know, the one thing about the Warriors that I love about them is that they're not like your typical, you know, champion, you know, or you become accustomed to believing with Kobe and Michael, where you got to have a killer and an assassin and somebody who's just, you know, just going out there just viciously trying to just destroy his opposition. The Warriors are just like, they want to have fun. They want to enjoy the game, and their spirits are high. And when their spirits are high and they're enjoying themselves, they usually play well, and they're high-fiving and sometimes dancing on the court, and they're cocky, and they're doing a lot of things. But it's more out of fun. It's like a love of the game type enthusiasm. And I think that's really what, when it comes to making your teammates better, sometimes it's just raising their spirits. Sometimes it's instilling confidence. Sometimes it's just like, if Steph is on a roll and he hits like three threes in a row, it energizes everybody, and all of a sudden, guys want to play harder. You know, you get guys involved, and I think it's better. It's more than just passing the ball. It's more than just making sure everybody's involved. It's more about raising their spirits. And I think that's what Steph's done all year. He's given this team confidence that they can go out there. I mean, this team won 73 games. It's the only team to ever do that. They're the only second team to ever win 70 games. And they did that because their confidence and also their spirit. I mean, and you can't really overlook that. That plays a huge role.
How hard is it for Steph or for LeBron or for someone with those expectations and with the titles that they have, like MVP, to when another guy's having a good game, to just kind of lay back and say, all right, you know what, I don't have to do it tonight because J.R. Smith's doing it, or because Clay's doing it, or Draymond's doing it?
The beauty of LeBron and Steph is that neither one of them has a problem in letting their teammates shine, especially Steph. I mean, you've seen throughout this postseason, he's been cool, and Clay Thompson have monster games. And, you remember Game 6 in Oklahoma City, Clay Thompson set the record with 11 three-pointers. You know, Clay was the one that kept them in the game. And then Steph was like, okay, now it's my time to take over and go in for the finish. And LeBron sort of takes on a similar mentality. He would love it if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving had monster games. You could see throughout the whole postseason, he was letting Kyrie just have to do his thing and just go ahead and get wins for him, lead him to wins. And then when it came time to get to the finals, he just shut down Toronto with, you know, a classic LeBron performance. So both of them enjoy seeing their teammates shine. Even one of them is trying to hog all the attention.
Is Game 4 maybe the most critical game in this series? Golden State goes up 3-1 or Cleveland ties it. I mean, at this point, obviously it's the most important game right in front of us. But is this going to pretty much determine whether or not this continues to be a series or whether or not it's over?
Yeah, I think if Cleveland wins, then we probably are going to have a 7-game series. If they lose, it'll probably end in Oakland. And I think if you're the Warriors, you want to end this season as quickly as possible because you've had a very long season, a very challenging mental season, because you've had to stay on edge for the entire year. There's never been any let up. There's never been any drop off in terms of focus and attention. They've been focused on trying to win 73 games in the regular season, and then in the Western Conference Finals, they were down 3-1, you know, and they had to win 3 in a row just to make it here. So they've been tested throughout the entire year, and it's been long. It's taken a lot out of them, and you can kind of see that in the low energy that Steph's had over the past couple of games. But I think the sooner they can get this over with, the better for them, and the longer the series goes, the better it is for the Cavs.
This is the question I'm asking everybody today. Gordie Howe, NHL legend, passes away today at age 88. We also saw Louisville, Kentucky lay Muhammad Ali to rest today. Some obviously big-time icons. In the case of Gordie Howe, he played long after the traditional prime. He retired at age 52. And in the NBA, we've seen some guys play well into their late 30s and even their 40s, and we're seeing that, like Tim Duncan still playing. Who's your favorite old guy? Who's done it the best, the latest in his years?
I have to ride with Kareem, just because if you look at his numbers, you know, from the beginning to the end, I mean, he put up some monster numbers. He was averaging, I think, 18 his last year, and he was 42. He's still on a relevant franchise, you know, in chasing championships. So I got to give it up to Kareem. I mean, I think he retired in 89, and he won back-to-back titles before that. So that's the way to do it. You want to keep winning and keep being effective all the way until the end. He's an all-time lead scorer, 6-time MVP, and I got to give it up to Kareem.
Michael, I'm going to put you on the spot for tonight's game. Who wins Game 4?
I'm going to side with the Warriors. I think that they've been woken up. The Cavaliers slapped them across the face and said, hey, we're here, buddy, and I think now they're going to respond.